Hello and welcome to the Dune Minute Podcast, your place to dive deep, minute by minute, into the cinematic adaptation of Frank Herbert's World of Dune. I'm one of your hosts, Zach.
And I'm John.
John.
It's the final Friday episode of the Dune Minute.
Final,
for part two.
Final Friday. Wow. Wow.
We're here.
Okay. Let's do it.
Where'd we leave off, Zach? And what minute are we talking about today?
We left off where the last minute ended.
As is tradition.
Now, specifically, we were talking about minute 154 through 155. Now, Paul is making his way over to the Emperor and his cadre of people.
Sure.
Irulan is the first to speak up. She goes, "The life debt has been paid. Spare my father now, and I will be your willing bride. The throne will be yours."
The throne will be yours.
First off, dating on Arrakis is crazy.
I thought dating in Atlanta was wild. Shit.
This is... it's nuts. Like, anyways, I won't get into it. But moving very fast through all of the steps of courtship.
Yep.
Paul, the look on Paul's face is so intense right here. He's wide-eyed, fury behind his eyes as he makes his way to Shaddam. And he slowly raises his left hand.
Right hand. Zach's not good with left and right.
Hey,
We've talked about this a few times.
Slowly raises his right hand with a very bloody Jostin's ring.
Ooh.
And he gets it about to hip height, which is a real fuck you to this old man he's standing in front of.
Sure.
And he just kind of stops there. Everyone's kind of like shuffling around, looking nervous.
So before we continue on, one thing that I noticed, and I couldn't tell if this was one or the other. When Irulan says the throne will be yours, the music stops and then we just have an ambient sound, and I can't tell if it's the wind or if it's the sound of waves. And to me, it sounds more like the sound of waves than it is the wind, but it's very subtle in the background.
I missed that.
It's also at the point where Paul, and Fade are like kind of catching their breath between fights, and then Paul invokes the Jameis double chest bump as well.
Yeah. Wind would make the most sense, but I could see...
but waves being the callback to the Atreides and to Caladan. And
that, I think that's...
reading too much into it?
Yes. Not for us, but for a general audience member, yes.
Okay.
So I'm going to go with wind, because they are standing next to a very large window.
Okay. Devil's advocate.
Okay.
We'll get there when we get there. But there is a point where I think it would make more sense for it to be waves.
Okay. Remind me then when we get there. So everyone's looking around nervously, very sheepishly even.
Mm-hmm.
No one's making eye contact with Paul, and he notices this. And he gives a big old stomp on the ground.
And that's where our waves stop.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. Maybe it is. Maybe they're trying to telegraph something here with those sounds. I'll give it a listen when I get home to see what I think.
I don't think you will.
Probably not. No, I'm going antiquing after this.
But that's okay. That's just my interpretation.
Sure. When Paul gives his stomp on the ground, which is a lovely stomp, by the way.
Oh, like if he was auditioning, you know, he would be in stomp.
Oh, for sure. You could play the hell out of a trash can. So the way that the camera is positioned is that we get to see like the very blurred outline of Shaddam's shoulder looking at Paul.
Right? Mm-hmm.
And when he gives this stomp, you can clearly see the shoulder flinch a little bit, which I thought was such a great little detail. It was very funny.
Yeah.
I wanted kind of a wider shot where everyone flinched, but just having Shaddam's shoulder move, that was very cool.
And then we get a side shot of the two of them, and we can see, you know, Paul kind of looming over Shaddam.
Mm-hmm.
He's a good few inches taller, and he's kind of got his head like pulled back to give more of that sense of I'm looming over you.
Yeah, and his eyes kind of dart down to his hand and then back up.
Yeah.
Clearly telegraphing what he wants Shaddam to do.
Yeah. Shaddam knows it too. He's just a little bitch about
it. He's proud.
Yeah.
But not proud enough to do what he needs to do. So, Emperor slowly reaches out. He takes Paul's hand and slowly drops to his knee.
Yeah.
He gives just a half-ass kiss to this ring.
I don't think he does. I think he stops just short of it.
Yes. He does not actually touch the ring, which I will excuse because there's a lot of blood on that ring.
Sure. But also...
kiss the ring.
Kiss the fucking ring, bitch.
Yeah.
And it's at this moment
where... But it's the action. It's the symbolism. It's the symbology of the moment.
Oh my God. Okay. At this moment, a time of quiet between the storms begins to play for the last time.
Yes.
And it has its extended intro with the sounds of sand now being blown across the wind. And that's why I was thinking it was waves earlier, because we had waves first. Now we have sand.
Okay. I can believe that.
They've done the wave noises before in the movie.
Okay. All right.
Sure.
I'll buy it.
And at this moment, everyone else begins to kneel too.
Well, almost everyone.
Almost. There are three people that don't.
Yes.
Jessica, Chani, and Irulan.
Right. Jessica looks almost in horror right now.
No.
I read it as horror. What did you read it as?
I read it as she's about to cry because she's watching her son become the fucking emperor.
Okay, yeah. I took it as she's like, oh, fuck, it's happening. Like, maybe she didn't...
Sure, maybe it's a little bit of column A, column B on that. But you know who the first person to kneel from Paul's group is, though?
Gurney.
No.
No?
It's Stilgar.
Oh, of course,
and Stilgar. And Stilgar is fucking weeping, like he's. It looks like he's actually crying here.
Well, that would make sense.
Yeah, because he is Paul. He is Muad'Dib fan number one.
Yeah,
yeah. If
I'm surprised he hasn't been doing that for the past 30 minutes of this movie.
Water discipline.
Water discipline. Yes, thank you.
But yeah, Gurney and Stilgar first, then Gurney, and then the rest of the. Fremen immediately follow, with the exception, of course, of Chani and Jessica.
Now, Irulan is, he's trying to look proud, I feel like, here. You know, she's keeping her head up high, very prim, proper.
Yep. I think she and Chani are having their own, like, silent battle, too.
For sure. And speaking of Chani...
And it certainly won't continue on into the next movie.
I hope not. Chani put her stone cold face back on.
Yep.
Almost like in disgust of what she's seeing. This is everything that she is scared of has happened. And all the things that she has warned people about and just tried to prevent, they've happened against her wishes.
They've enabled it to happen as well.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So then she kind of shifts and raises her chin up high. She gets her proud moment back. And I thought this was really cool imagery here. We get another shot of the room kneeling.
Yep.
And it almost looks, because a lot of the people are out of focus. It looks like the world is dissolving except for these three. Because we only get Chani, Irulan, and Paul in the frame.
And I think that is entirely exactly the imagery that Denis wanted. And
it is so beautiful. It's gorgeous. It looks like their world is dissolving and it's only the three of these people remaining.
Yep.
Which is very, very cool. And that's where our minute ends as this is happening.
Zach.
Last full week?
Last full week of the Dune Minute, part two.
Part two.
Well, season two for Dune part two.
John, you've been saying this and it sounds like we're going to be gone forever.
We're not going to be gone forever. No. We'll talk more about that next week.
We'll be back next week.
We will be back next week.
Next week.
Yeah.
Jeez.
But it's the last Friday episode.
It's true.
Yeah. But as with all Friday episodes, I have a very important question for you because as you know, Arrakis has many Shai-Haluds.
It's true. We've seen a dozen or so of them.
But how many of these Shai-Haluds would you bring on for this week in this collection of episodes of Dune?
6.14.
Explain.
It was very good.
Okay.
I liked this week. The things that made it not great were the weird addition of the Bene Gesserit last minute power.
Yep.
Didn't love that. Vade's dried blood, Paul's wet blood. That was weird.
Yeah.
That's where the 1.4 comes from.
Okay.
You know, tiny gripe.
Sure.
I'm going to get stabbed in a bunch of vital areas and still have enough like life force to keep going and not just be completely drained of blood. Movie magic.
It's a little weird.
Took me out of it.
Yeah.
I had to go off on my Forrest Gump rant. I didn't enjoy that. I know that was me, but it made me do it. Now, all that being said, great choreography.
Fantastic choreography. Fantastic. Especially choreography. Since it was actually Austin Butler and Timothée Chalamet.
Yes. Yes.
Not dogging on stunt actors.
No.
For what they do, because they, if there's anyone in Hollywood that deserves more credit and recognition for what they do, not only on screen, but to their bodies, it is the work that stunt people do.
Right. And I'm glad they didn't use stunt people here, because we would have known it. We would have had to have them fighting in helmets or whatever.
Yeah.
It would have taken us out. Stunt actors could have done a fantastic job with this. Mm-hmm. I think it's an even bigger credit that the actors did a fantastic job to this.
Yeah.
We get to see Paul become emperor, I guess, now.
Well, maybe.
Or begin to become emperor.
We'll see.
Yeah. So, I don't know. It was good. It did not follow the books. I mean, the points that it took from the books were Paul fights Fade, Paul wins.
Yeah.
That's about it.
Fade dies.
Yeah.
Spoilers.
And that's really about it. So, I can't give it too high remarks for accuracy because I left a lot of stuff out again. I wanted to see Fade get stabbed through the brain. That would have been great.
Sure. So, PG-13 rating.
I know.
Your limiting factor. But there.
A six and some change, still pretty good score.
All right. I was going to say a 6.5.
Okay.
The last minute Bene Gesserit telepathy really is weird. But yeah, for all the things that we've already talked about, I'm there with you. Okay. So.
All right, man. Well, how about we get back next week
for 3 more episodes,
for not a full week.
Yeah.
As is tradition, we go to the beginning of the credits, and that happens on our Wednesday episode of next week.
Mm-hmm.
Little spoilers there. So we will be back next week with 3 episodes of the Dune Minute podcast.
In the meantime, you can find the Dune Minute online. We are on Blue Sky at DuneMinute.com, and of course you can email DuneMinute@gmail.com if you'd like to email us. We will be back on Monday for a shorter week. Have a good weekend.
See ya.